It is exactly 12 midnight, and I thought that we would talk about April when we went to Las Vegas to see the man, which was quite an experience. I had never seen him before after playing records of his for 15 years, but it was just a tremendous experience to see the man in person.
And I've never seen so many musicians on a stage backing him up. Incidentally, which adds some to it. And I think this was a sentiment expressed by a number of the people in our party. You wonder about halfway through the show, is it really as powerful as I feel it is at the moment, or am I caught up in this fantastic thing because there is such a great musical organization behind him? And just about the time you think, well, maybe I'm influenced somewhat by all those musicians in this spectacular sound, then the musicians lay down their instruments, and Frank does something very simple with a piano backing, and you know your answer right there. The man has it.
I think you could say the same thing about them as you could about us. You know, we're in the business, a similar business. And you have, I know, you have seen several people at Tahoe, Bennett, you know, comics and so forth, and you become sort of accustomed to it because we get to go to a lot of press previews. But I tell you, I was just probably like they were back at the Paramount, you know, in the 40s. It was just that much of an experience for me. But the opening act was funny, too.
Can you imagine the thrill it must be to be on a bill with Frank Sinatra? And one of the, I can't remember the young lady's name now, but she's
Julie
still
Budd.
A teenager. Yeah,
Julie
sort
Budd.
Of a junior Barbara Streisand. What a thrill that must be in her beginning career here to be on the bill with Frank Sinatra. The other man that delighted us was Pat Henry, and he is one of Frank Sinatra's favorite comedians, and he was on the Caesar's Palace bill. And courtesy of the Frank Sinatra Music Society, we have a tape of that Caesar's Palace engagement and Pat Henry talking about Frank.
Ladies and gentlemen, the comedy of Pat Henry.
Okay, hold it. Don't rehearse on my time. I got 12 minutes. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Jilly. Welcome to Mr. Sinatra's Jack Daniels Festival. Hey, don't smoke. Do me a favor. He comes out, he thinks it's smart, he blows up the entire room. He'll be here in about 5 minutes. He's walking over Lake Mead right now. Well, he knows where the rocks are. He's beautiful. Francis Albert. I love working with him. I worked with him, Sammy Davis, and Dean Martin once in Chicago. I'll never forget that closing night, the way they left town. Sinatra walked right over Lake Michigan. Sammy didn't have to. He's Jewish. The water parted. He went right through. And Dean Martin drank it. But Frank is great. You know, you always hear the little stories. Let me tell you the nice things this man does. He does so many. Like when Israel had their six-day war, and they needed money desperately. He was the chairman at the Hollywood Bowl. They raised $10 million in one afternoon for the Jewish cause. If you're Jewish, you should be very proud. True. Because I'll never forget, when the Italians were in trouble, he had a huge rally at Columbus Circle in New York. Raised $1.64. Just enough to buy a white flag.
N-E-W is in love with you. K-N-E-W.
It is 4 minutes after midnight as we are in the final, the 91st hour of K-N-E-W salute to Frank Sinatra. And boy, all the people that we have heard from and will be hearing from in this hour, it's just great to hear people. And it's very obvious above and beyond the professionalism, the sincerity that comes across, that they really feel this for the man, and not just people that go back with him 25, 30, 35 years, but some of the younger performers of the last 5 or 6 years, such as at Caesar's Palace, appearing with the man, Jose Feliciano.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good evening. It's really a thrill for me to be here, and it's an occasion which I'll always remember, because you see, Jerry Zarowitz called me one night and said, Jose, I would like you to work with Frank, and I said, Frank who? Well, you see, he hadn't told me that it was Mr. Sinatra, the man. So when he told me that it was Frank Sinatra, I just said, well, I didn't believe it until I took the plane and got here and got everything going. So it's really a big thrill for me, and it's really a pleasure to be working with the man, Mr. Sinatra, whom I've admired for many years. And I just think it's great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
that is the sound of one of the truly great classics of our time. The composer, Ernesto Lecuona. His composition, Malagueña. I'd like to dedicate this to Mr. Sinatra.
One of the hardest things that I think I've ever had to really try to put down on paper or anything else is what the man by the name of Frank Sinatra means to me as a friend and as a performer. As a friend, I think that's so personal that one should not go into it. Suffice enough to say that he's as great a friend as he is a performer. As a performer, well, that's something else again. That I can loudly and proudly claim. That I don't think there's a guy that puts his hand on the microphone, or has in the last 20 years or so, that hasn't in some way been influenced by the voice of Frank Sinatra. Having the opportunity to have worked with him on nightclub stages and concerts and movies, I've watched a total man, a total perfectionist, whether it's a scene that he has to conquer in his own particular way, whether it's an arrangement that he feels just isn't right, whether it's the lighting of a number. There is so much to learn every time you see Frank. When you listen to him, of course, you're listening to just about the best technician around when it comes to popular songs. They always called Frank a lyricist in terms of the way he could, and still can, I shouldn't say could, but still can do his thing with a lyric. I think he's a storyteller. I think he's possibly the best musical storyteller that we've had come along, at least since I've been my 40 years in this business. And there's a lot of cats who sing songs, and they are all marvelous. They all have their own style, but that Sinatra quality that separates him from the other people, that's kind of special.
When you ask what he's contributed to the world of music, it's like asking what Shakespeare has contributed to the world of playwriting, what Beethoven has contributed to the world of classical music. He has been the great figure in music in our times, and he continues to be. Sinatra is a great personality. At one time, you know, he said he was going to escape the Southern California scenery and come live in the San Francisco Bay Area. Because he regarded it as one of the greatest living environments on the face of the earth. But in any event, I think it's wonderful that your station is spending so much time on the Sinatra music. You couldn't do better.
It's like a priceless jewel. You can't put a price on it. You almost can't sum it up. You know, just for myself, the man has given me hours and hours of wonderful singing pleasure, musical pleasure, and his musical integrity is a thrill to me as a singer myself. The little shadows, shall we say, that have passed over have only, they seem to enhance his image, the little rough edges and the little bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
That's appealing to me, maybe to all women, but is appealing to me. And instead of it being a nice all the way, and that's a nice fellow, he's not necessarily a nice fellow. It's just a marvelous combination of that. It's a provocative feeling when I think about Frank Sinatra as a performer and what he's given to me is just as a listener, let alone a co-worker.
No, I just felt that. How do you thank a man who has singled you out to do an album of your songs and who does them so well, so superbly? I mean, Frank Sinatra has everything that he wants or needs in his life, and so. I thought it might be kind of nice to just put together in limited edition form all the lyrics to the book, to the album rather,
mm-hmm.
and then a long poem about him. And I did just that. I made 600 copies of it, 500 of which went to Frank and they were signed a number, and 100 of which I kept. And That's it. You know, he could do with them what he wanted to. He could start a good fire with them, or he could give them to friends or whatever, you know. And I figured it was the only way I knew of kind of repaying him. The Sinatra thing was such a marvelous thing for me, and I was so thrilled about that. I wanted to give him something, that's all. You can't send him a bouquet of gladiolas or something. Thanks a lot, Frank.
Final curtain, my friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and mall. Much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got, if not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blow.
one question that has been asked us during this 91 hours, was that written especially for Sinatra? Yes, it was. Paul Anka wrote that, which is really strange when you think about Paul Anka's beginnings as a rock and roll singer at the age of 15, was singing things like Diana and songs like that. But he wrote that for Sinatra a couple of years ago. It was originally a French song, and he adapted it for the man. It is 15 minutes after midnight. We have, hard to believe, 45 minutes left out of 91 hours.
You're with Ron Reynolds and Ron Lyons and Frank Sinatra in the conclusion of our 91-hour world record-breaking special tribute. And Jack Hayes talked with Connie Haynes earlier in the week about Frank Sinatra. Jack asked Connie,
was Sinatra temperamental back in the early days?
Exactly the same as he is. I don't see anything different now. I'd say he's mellowed, he's a little more calm, and he's plumper. I'd say that was the only difference of what I see. However, I don't have any personal contact with Frank anymore, except like when we play Vegas in passing. It'll be a nightcap or a whole gang, like Dean Martin will invite us to a party, or Sammy Davis Jr., and Frank will be there. But he was the same. And I think this is the reason this man, well, I knew he was going to be a star. And the very first day we did a theater date, unknown, with Harry James, they were lined up screaming for him outside and trying to tear his clothes off, and they didn't know his name. And, you know, years later, when they claimed that Frank paid for it when he went out on his own, the great New York Paramount, that they were paid screamers and all those kids,
mm-hmm.
I can vouch for it. It's a lie. Because I was there when they didn't know who he was, and we could hardly get out of the door, and they were after Frank.
KNEW, where you meet San Francisco every day.
Vocalist Connie Haynes talking about Frank. When we saw Frank Sinatra in April at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, I think the one song that got to Ron Lyons and myself more than any other was Angel Eyes. And it's a bar room song, and I think it would be appropriate for Ron Lyons to set the mood for you.
Well, it really shows how a man can take an audience of three, four, you know, how many thousands, and set a scene, and you are there. And he opens this particular song, introduces it by giving credit, as he always does, to the composer, who is Matt Dennis. And the piano starts playing softly on the side stage there. Frank lights a cigarette, and he has a glass of Jack Daniels in his hand. And he says, the story is a story that we've all been through. A guy is sitting in a saloon, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and his girl has left him. At that point, the spotlight dims, and the man sings the song.
Hey, drink up, all you people. Daughter, anything you see. Have fun, you happy people. The drink and the laughs on me. Try to think that love's not around. Still, it's uncomfortably near. My old heart ain't gaining any ground, because my angel eyes ain't here. Angel eyes, that old devil sent, they glow unbearably bright. Need I say that my love's misspent with angel eyes tonight? So drink up, all of you people. Order anything you see. and the last on me. Pardon me, but I gotta run. The fact's uncommonly clear. I gotta find who's now the number one and why my angel eyes ain't here. Excuse me while I disappear.
There is nobody else that can do that. It's 22 minutes after midnight. We're in hour 91, which is really hard to believe that we've been on this long with all these tributes and all this marvelous music from a genius, Frank Sinatra. And of course, the song that really started the whole thing record-wise was All or Nothing at All, which is kind of interesting. You may not have heard the story. It was recorded originally in 1939 when he was a vocalist with Harry James, and the original record in 1939 had All or Nothing at All, Harry James and the orchestra, then in small print with Frank Sinatra. 4 years later, after he had gone with Dorsey, and then as a single, and he was on his own, they re-released it, and it became a million seller, and it was All or Nothing at All, and it was, in big letters, Frank Sinatra, and then in small print with Harry James.
There have been words uttered by philosophers or poets that you can't go back. Well, I think we're about to disprove that. You can go back and recapture those moments, and that's exactly what Frank Sinatra did not too many years ago in Las Vegas with Harry James.
The time I get the Kleenex, the Kleenex. We have a, This is the first song I never gained recognition, and it came through the good wishes of Mr. James when I was a little boy. All or nothing at all. After love never appeals to me.
Let's try that in one of the machines. I think we can get it sound. Yeah,
you are listening,
better.
Incidentally, to a KNEW exclusive recording. A KNEW exclusive.
under the spell of your call. I'd be caught in the undertow. So you see, I've got to say no, 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 no.
Well, there's something to be preserved, a reunion with the man he started it all with way back in 1939. Frank Sinatra reunited with Harry James a few years ago in Las Vegas. It's 27 minutes after midnight, and we have 33 minutes left as we are right here in our 91st hour. And, of course, we've been talking, one of the persons we've been conversing with concerning the man has been Joe Smith, who, of course, is the president of Reprise Records and a close friend of Frank Sinatra's. And he shares a story with us here that illustrates Frank's attitudes and personality.
I remember him telling me once, it's, I guess, maybe indicative of the guy again. He played the Newport Jazz Festival in Rhode Island about 3 years ago with Count Basie's band. It was the first time an artist like Sinatra had ever played that thing. And as he finished his last number on the Saturday night show before a packed crowd of maybe 22,000 people, as he finished his last song, he closed the songbook on the stage and raced off the stage. And in back of the stage, he had a helicopter. And the helicopter took him over to Providence, which is about 15 miles away. And there on the runway was his Learjet. And he flew to New York, and they had a car with a motorcycle escort. And they whipped him into town to Jilly's, his favorite watering spot in New York. And he had a drink in his hand, and he looked at his watch. He said, 42 minutes. He says, you know, they're still in the parking lot back there in Newport. His just total ability to shrug off that standing oration, that adulation, and get such a kick out of getting from the stage to Jilly's with a drink in 42 minutes is, again, maybe a tip-off on the excitement of being around the guy.
The excitement of being around the guy, says Joe Smith, who is the president of Reprise Records. And there is a good warm feeling about being around the guy, as recounted by his good friend, Count Basie.
There were so many things that we did together. Truthfully, every moment was solid. Just think, each time was different and a wonderful time. What I can recall about this guy, he's a pretty thoughtful guy, and he thinks pretty deep and thinks way, and he thinks of people. Because I'll show you what happened. Not too long ago, we did a couple of benefits in London, and we happened to be looking out the window just before the concert, and he called me over. He said, hey, Bill, come over here. So when we look out the window, and we saw all down by the water, all around the hall, there were all just so ever so many people who weren't able to get into the theater. And this was the second night. And I said, yes, well, Frank, I saw this last night. He said, I wished I had known it. He said, you know, wait a minute. And I missed it for a minute. And then he came back. He said, you know, if I had known this last night, he said, I would have tried to have a speaker arranged on the outside, you know? And so I tell you what I believe he actually done. I believe he actually tried to get together with some of the engineers, something like to see if they could have one arranged there just at that time, you know? And I thought that was a very beautiful thought.
KNEW, Oakland, San Francisco.
KNEW's 91-hour Sinatra special is a memorable one, thanks to Joe Mimoli, Bob Cupari, the Sinatra Music Society, Carl Dahlstrom, Bill Stewart, Ron Fell, and the NEW disc jockeys. Now back to the man, Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah!